Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If we do put ourselves in a bubble where we don't interact and we don't have our opinions challenged and we don't start to think differently, and that's exactly where we are now.
We don't get our opinions challenged because we're always in a bubble, like on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm with all the people that understand me or like what I like.
Yeah.
You know, same on Facebook and whatever. So we never like leave our.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. It also then makes taking criticism even harder.
Yeah.
Because if everything you do, it seems everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone says, well, actually, you shouldn't. How dare you facing that? This is what I fear for our young people is how are they going to deal with real criticism in the real world? If I've got 5,000 followers on Instagram, on YouTube, and this means I'm popular. This means I'm liked. How dare you criticize me?
Yeah.
And in fact, they'll just retreat into those forums and worlds again. They'll say, "Well, I'll just expose a bit more of myself on Instagram, and I'll get even more likes." What do you know?
Yeah,
it's a little worrying. Well, not a little bit.
A little. It's very worrying.
I'm scared. I'm the play.
I had a conversation with a friend. About that, and I told her, I was like, yo, but you're used to not getting challenged because it sounds like every time somebody challenges you, you get upset.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just a simple question of like, what did you mean? Like, really? And they're like, oh, but that's not true. I'm like, yeah, but you know, you probably have friends that are, you know, willing to accommodate you in all your opinions.
Exactly.
And then once somebody comes from the outside and challenges you, you get upset because you don't know what that is. You never get challenged.
Exactly.
So, and that's like, it's a bigger and bigger problem actually in the world today. So,
and like I say, once you get challenged, you then turn to your friends who will always support your point of view anyway. Because particularly if you write things on Facebook or those sort of forums, people don't challenge you on it. If I posted a picture of me drinking 10 bottles of champagne, no one's going to say, hey, you can't afford 10 bottles of champagne. They'll go, great.
Yeah, you know.
Fucking great. No one's going to warn you or try and protect you or say, look, maybe, hey man, I see you buying like 10 bottles of champagne. That's a lot. Even privately, they wouldn't even say that. They'll just watch you fall. When really you want your friends to say, hey, you know, I'm your mate, buddy, but maybe you should calm down going out, you know, because... Yeah. Things are tough, but no one's even scared to say it to your friends now.
But the ultimate phenomenon for that is Trump. Like,
he's the climax, the pinnacle.
He's the pinnacle.
Exactly.
Because it's like, this guy never gets challenged. Even when he's like, I want to become president, and nobody really challenges him. Like, he's the president right now. Yeah. So how you tell a guy like that he's wrong in anything? Because, they said I couldn't be president.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
What are you going to say about that? Like, so anything he does from now on, it's like...
It was the end. It was. As soon as his name was called, it was the end.
Yeah.
It was, if you can accept... and they were digging out flaws. And every single day since he's been in office, they've been revealing flaw after flaw after... And still, it seems that this guy's going to be here the long term. They're not going to impeach him, the Republicans.
They can, because then the whole system collapses, because it's like, and that's another thing. Then you're challenging the system.
Yeah.
And once you challenge the system and you you show the flawed, what a flawed system it is, now all of a sudden everything is questionable.
Yeah.
And then the finances, the financial institutions and everything is questionable, and the whole thing collapses. So that's why they got to protect it. So they will protect it by any means.
Yeah.
Or protect him by any means.
But he seems like he's constantly walking his Twitter account. Yeah.
But that's the thing, like, they're trying to protect him, but this guy is like, he's like a baby. Like, you lift them away from the water, and then once you look away, they walk him towards the water again. And you like lift them back
and like, he's walking towards
it. You know?
And everyone else is just looking and saying, well, you know, there's
anyway, like, we just started talking right into the whole interview thing. I mean, it's not really an interview, it's a conversation. But for the listeners, this is the Swedish After Work pod, and our guest today is none other than Andy Collins, a music lover. And that's actually why he's here, because he's like a very, I don't want to use the word notorious, but he's a big music lover and a connoisseur of soul. And he started a website called Scandinavian Soul, which is actually one of the biggest platforms of Scandinavian soul music, or maybe the only platform, I think, of Scandinavian soul music, apart from Mats Nileskär on Swedish radio. But yeah, man, tell us a little bit about yourself. Very happy to have you here on our pod.
And I really thank you for inviting me. Pleased to be here. Oh, thank you for the kind words.
Notorious where that came from. But you know, when somebody that like fights and fights, you know, you're like, you're fighting the good fight, and you know, just in there,
it's
boxing.
It's a good description, because even when you start to say a soul connoisseur, I almost don't even see myself like that. I see myself as a fighter for the voices of soul singers, rather than like, oh, he's I don't know what the word, trying to define the music. The whole roots of the website was to support and help artists, and that's even more what my core drive has been in everything, is to how can I get more people to support and help these artists, because they're good artists. The more I met artists and the more I chatted to them, the more I fell in love with them as people.
Yeah.
And that was the wonderful thing, as you realise when you meet someone and you find out what they're doing, and if you have an interest in people, with that then starts to drive you. You realise that people are amazing and they're struggling a lot to do what they want to do, and it's a passion and a fire. And when I'm around people like that, fires me up. I go, what I have to do is actually the easy part. That's how I've always felt like it, is that they do the hard work. And you've been with an artist in a studio, the rehearsals, the writing, the chord changes, the melody changes, and this, that, to get it right.
Yeah.
And the way, going back actually to what we were just talking about, Facebook and how we consume things these days, how we consume music, is, you know, I found myself, you know, going, I flick through, you know, what's that? No. You know, but Spotify has, you know, led you to this sort of age where you just flick through. You won't give it even a chance.
No, because it's too much out there. Like, you're constantly thinking about the next thing, and the limited amount of time you have, you're thinking like, oh, I have to go to the next, because there's so much out there. I want it all, you know. So you don't really enjoy it. Like, and that's a funny thing. Like, we don't even enjoy art anymore, because it's like, it's right on the tip of our fingers, and it's more and more out there. And you always feel like you haven't. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's a crazy feeling.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned all about we don't have time.
Yeah,
that we know in today's world we don't have time. We actually do have time.
That's
we all have time, but we choose not to have time. We all have time to listen to that track if you want to. I mean, in fact, thank God for things like Netflix. I mean, instead of me feeling now, I used to keep thinking that I don't have time. Oh, I've got to watch every episode now while I've got time.
Mm.
Well, it's not going anywhere. I can watch that whenever I want in the next 50, 40 years.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking I don't have time. I have to watch every episode right now, otherwise I won't have time. And that sort of constant desire to I don't have time, because everyone tells me you don't have time anymore. Not in today's world, you don't have time, but really you do.
But that's the funny thing, like, because I'm an old school dude, like I'm like, let me say, I'm in my early 40s, So I've been here for a while, and I remember back in the day where we only had two channels on the television, etc., etc. And I remember the time-consuming efforts of just hooking up with your friends. You know, you had to call early in the morning, like, yo, we're going to meet here at this time. And then you, or maybe like looking for a trip.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, you had to call different agencies, compare prices. It could take you a whole day.
Yeah.
Now it takes me 5 minutes and blah, 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 I'm done.
Yeah.
That means I have time to do other things.
Exactly.
But what I do with that time is crazy.
Yeah.
I go through series. I listen to music.
Time.
You know, I waste a lot of time. But I mean, it's a hard balance.
Yeah.
Thinking like, what are we really doing with our time? Because we have more time.
Yeah.
But what we feel with that time now is the question: what are we really? Are we really doing the right? You know, filling it up with the right things.
Yeah.
That's the question. Sorry for interrupting you there. I want to rewind a little, like. Who's Andy Collins? Like, how did you... Because you're not from Sweden,
no.
Obviously. And I want to hear a little bit, like, how did you get here? You know?
Yeah. Well, from originally from London.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to Sweden in 2005.
Right.
With my partner. We had our daughter. And when she was born, from Croydon, nobody laughed.
Oh, Croydon.
Yeah.
I have family there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
they're Croydon. Still with us? No, I'm joking. Croydon. I love Croydon. It's my hometown. And the funny thing is, the more I'm away from it, the more I'm in love with it. I'm going on Wednesday. It's my hometown. I read about Croydon and I love it, and even more so. But it does have a strange love hate thing.
Yeah,
about it.
Actually, every time I'm in England, like that's where I go. So that's Croydon. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's quite funny, Croydon. But yes, it's my hometown. So I have a love about it. Sort of looking back at the history of growing up there, the different influences, taking all of that London life from growing up in there, then moving to Sweden was a big change. But I was used to it because I had come to Sweden every summer, basically.
Yeah.
But I'd been spoiled by seeing the wonderful
You're a tourist.
You only go to the nice places. You hang out with your friends and everything is glorious and nice, but it was a challenge coming over. Make no mistake, the first 2-3 months I had a headache every day because of the language. It was like the sound, and when you just put on the TV, it was like that's all I could hear.
And your brain is trying to decipher it,
and it's amazing. Unless you have lived somewhere where you don't speak the language, there's an incredible feeling of helplessness that you get.
Yeah.
Where suddenly the simple things seem really challenging. It's like, I used to dread the phone ringing.
To answer it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If the phone would ring, I'd be like, oh no, because it's actually been there, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
The phone, I don't think a lot of people have home phones anymore.
Not anymore. But 2005,
we had a home phone.
Yeah.
So it was the main ringing, you know.
Yeah.
Family would call on that phone to, you know, set up Skype and all that sort of stuff. But still, my mum would prefer to ring on the landline.
On the landline, yeah.
So when the phone would ring, it would be like, oh no, and you'd hear someone say, Shiena, I'm in Canoola. Not that, that's a bit too friendly.
It sounds
really friendly. But they would say, like, hey, you're ringing from blah, 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 blah. And then because I wanted to also be accepted in society, I wanted to speak Swedish, so I put myself even under more pressure that don't speak English, because I'm here now.
You want to learn.
Exactly. I should speak Swedish. The first few two and a half years I was learning Swedish to the point that I could converse,
communicate.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a big weight off my shoulder.
Yeah.
That really made a big difference. And to my confidence, there's a lot of personal confidence. And I'm a graphic designer by trade, and I felt it was also important if I was going to be a graphic designer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't demand I only work with clients who work on our English projects. So I was like, well, I want to be able to also write, because I enjoy writing, and I wanted to be able to write headlines or that I knew made sense. or would sell or convey what I wanted to convey. And it's again about being able to communicate, which is a key thing. And if you can't communicate, if you can't say, if someone says, yeah, we're going to put a new advertising campaign together, Andy, and it says this at the top, and I can't go, no, that doesn't make any, and I can't, then you can't contribute.
You feel like not adequate.
No. And you want to be able to throw in an idea and go, wouldn't it be better if we said, Dom Vilbara, and instead of we will have, let's say Dom Vilbara. Yes, you know, give it more strength, give it more impact, but you can only do that if you have a, you know,
strength in a language.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that's basically how I came. I mean,
so what was like apart from that? Like, how did you view Sweden before you came here? Like, you told me that you came here a lot, but what was your like perception of Swedes in the world? We always see this little country, Sweden, getting a lot of attention in the world, like too much even, to the point where we think like we're this metropolitan. I don't even know how to describe it, but what was your like perception of the Swede?
Of the Swede?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, from a young age, it was the same, I think, as most. Well, yeah.
John Borg.
Let's face it. I mean, particularly, they were the main exports. And it's not like, I'm going to say England was like secluded in that way. We were, as a kid, we were told to hate the French.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, and so
the frogs.
The frogs, exactly, exactly. That was the sort of attitude. So it wasn't like we were open-armed as a child. It wasn't like, you know, the whole Scandinavian countries. We had the impression it was blondes, it was, okay, it was good music, but it was very, very clean, very well organised and everything. And that was the impression I had. Until I've never met a Swedish person or a Nordic person or whatsoever. So I had no, what's the word? I only had the stereotypical images. And that's a sad, sad thing in the world. Is unless you go places, you only get these stereotypical images because you get force-fed them.
Yeah.
But it's funny enough, I was in a long-term relationship, not long-term relationship, but well, I was in a relationship with an English girl, and it was great, and it was wonderful. When we split up, I made a decision. I didn't want to ever go out with an English girl again, because I wanted to know more. I wanted to know more about everything. It felt like I knew. If I met an English person, we would talk about stuff I knew.
Yeah.
We would talk about TV programs I knew. We would talk about everything, because she would be
soccer.
Yeah, exactly. The same age, and we'd know, and we'd, you know, it would be great, but we would know
the ends.
Yes, exactly. So that's why when I met my Swedish partner at the time, she was a tour guide.
Yeah.
And her knowledge of, I mean, not England, was amazing, because she was a tour guide in England.
Yeah.
So she was taking me around England and showing me things. I was like, oh my God, how do you know all this stuff? Well, great. You know, this is where they were. And then take me back to Sweden, and it's like, well, I can take you around. And it was like the whole world opened up. And so I saw Sweden in another way. I saw it as like, wow, this is a... And I've got to give credit to, like, her friends... Tessan and Jesper, who were like her best friends, and who welcomed me, and her family, I'd say, welcomed me with open arms. So when I arrived, it felt like I was coming into, they were literally like friends. They were like, so like, all my expectations sort of like, oh my God, they're really nice people, this is gorgeous, they seem really, really friendly. And that funny story,
they seem friendly.
They seem friendly, but they are friendly.
But that suspiciousness, like these, you know.
Yeah.
But that's another topic.
Yeah.
I was gonna say something. I was like, but that's let me say it. Like, but that's the black thing, though.
Yeah.
Like when you leave, like when you leave your little bubble, as we go into it, as we were talking about before, because as a black person, you're not used to being welcomed everywhere in the world. So you always have that little suspicion, like, oh, they seem friendly. Like, what's going to come later, you know?
Yes.
But it probably, I think it turned out.
Yeah, thank you for actually you're saying what I was kind of I'm not saying avoiding saying, because
yeah,
sometimes
we don't avoid
I don't want to avoid the black guy in the room conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, the elephant in the room, but by saying they're like, well, because I was black, I was like that, as if that was my overriding consciousness all the time. But I was aware.
Yeah, you are. You have no choice.
You have no choice in that, because people will make you aware of that. Mm. And before I moved over, I actually phoned a recruiting agency, and I said, "Do you speak English?" Blah, blah, blah. I said, "Look, I just want to know. I'm trying to look for a job as a designer. What is it like? I'm a black guy. What is it like?" And he said, "I said, I want an honest opinion." I said, "This isn't radio or anything like that. It's not news. I just want to know an honest opinion." And he said, "Well, tell you the truth, if you have dreadlocks, you're going to find it difficult."
Yeah. You had dreadlocks?
No.
Oh, right.
No. Back, right, see, I had no hair whatsoever.
Yeah.
When I was young. But yeah, I appreciate his honesty in that, because it did let me know that, yes, there is racism. There will be. People will judge you differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you are always aware of that, even when you know it's Scandinavian, you know you're going to be a minority again.
Yeah.
But I was shocked by how much I did feel in the minority when I came. I was really like, wow, it really is, you know, spot the black sort of moment, you know, okay. And that not everyone is as friendly on the street as you think. When you realise that they don't make eye contact.
Yeah, but that's a typical Swedish thing. Yes, it's not personal.
It's not. But when you're used to the English and they're wonderful, you know, I've hung out in bars and clubs and people speak to you and you chat and we do drinks. That's the key thing. If you go out for a drink with anyone, you share the bill. I'll get this one for you. That's the attitude. And you stand in the queue and the person at the till would say, like, "How are you doing, love? You all right? You know, how's your day been?" They talk to you.
Yeah.
And then when you got to Sweden, it was like,
silence.
This silence. And then when people weren't making eye contact, that was really unnerving. That took me a long time to get used to. The head turning down to look at the shoes.
Yeah.
And I go, what? And I used to look down at the shoes as well.
the
shoes, but they're looking down, and they do it blatantly, no disguising. They walk towards you, as soon as you get close, looking down.
Yeah.
So it's hard. You realise that, well, how am I going to communicate that I'm friendly, or that you're friendly, and that... That we're not enemies. I mean,
that's a hard one. Like, I mean, after a while you get used to it, but it's a really hard one, and you notice it more even when you go abroad. Like you're on vacation somewhere, and you really understand how Swedish you are, because somebody comes towards you and they want to be friendly, and you're like thinking like, "Get away from me!" And then you catch yourself like, "Oh, I'm just being Swedish. I'm just being that black Swede guy, you know, that black Swede." That's why I call myself the black Swede sometimes, especially when I'm abroad. Like, because that's actually, it's nothing personal, but it's, I don't know where that came from. It's totally a different, you know, program for it, but it is a thing.
Yeah.
And we, you know, it's getting better.
Yeah.
It's getting better, but it's been a thing for the culture.
So I've not faced open racism,
apart
from just the other day, but...
apart from just the other 5 minutes ago when I... yeah. All right. Let's hear it.
It was just a group of guys in the car driving past pretending to shoot me as they drove past. I mean,
that's a common one.
That's a common probably thing that goes on. But it just
actually, all you have to do is reach in your pocket.
And then it's
like reverse, because they actually believe that you're, as long as just because you're black, they actually believe that you have a gangster affiliation. So once you do like this, like you're gonna shoot back, they shit their pants. Actually, but that's true though. Yeah. I'm not even lying. That's true. Like, just reach back in your pocket and act like, what? You know, do that little mannerism thing. Like,
I can't even. It doesn't come to me quick enough. Unfortunately,
it takes practice though. You only been here like what, 12 years? 30 years.
30 years.
So it takes practice.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, let's not. Okay.
Yeah.
But
realizing there is racism in Sweden and feeling at times like I was going back to the 60s, having grown up and gone through the skinheads and the far right and all that sort of stuff. Realising they still allow Nazi marches
Yeah.
You know, when I realised that, I was like, that was a big shock the first
but
year.
But that's democracy, though.
Yeah, and I know and I understand that sort of freedom of speech, but for me, this is what my bottom line is. Mm-hmm. If your speech leads to death,
yeah,
then it is not free
freedom.
Speech.
No, it's not.
If anything you say will lead to someone else being hurt, mm-hmm. murdered, killed, then that's not free speech.
Yeah.
And I know their politics on the far right leads only to one way.
Yeah.
Death. People get hurt. People get killed. That's not free speech. That's incitement.
Or so, people getting eradicated in whatever means
necessary.
Possible
exactly.
or necessary.
Exactly. It was unnerving. It was,
yeah.
And the fact that since I've been here, it's grown. The world's changed. I mean,
yeah.
My God, from when I moved here, honestly, I felt like I moved here in the heyday of the globe,
yeah.
when everything felt possible. The world felt like it was getting closer. The EU, everything
yeah.
felt like, wow, we're moving forward. Mobile phones, internet, Netflix, everything
yeah.
felt like we're getting better. The world's getting closer. We're learning.
But that's the backside, and that's what we were talking about, that bubble, because all these communication possibilities have just led to us communicating with only the people that form the same opinion
exactly.
as we do, and that in itself creates more division, which is crazy. Like,
yeah.
like we have more means to communicate.
Yes.
But we're dividing ourselves even more. So it's like, how do we
yes.
how do we get, you know, how do we solve that?
Yeah.
It's crazy. How do we solve that?
And it goes back to what I was
saying.
Andy
Collins has the answer. So
I'm working on the answer.
How do we solve that?
It's funny enough, it's kind of one thing I feel like I'm trying to work on, which
yeah.
is just leading to the website. And
yeah.
when I moved to Sweden, what I started was a website called Urban Life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was meant to be the home of Afro-Swedish culture.
Yeah.
Because what I wanted to try and do was to bridge that gap. To bridge a gap between black culture and white culture in Sweden,
mm-hmm.
and that Swedes could enter into the website, learn more,
mm-hmm.
and black people could feel a bit more part of society, that we're
mm-hmm.
together, that we're a community, and build
yeah.
a community in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually really... I think it was ahead of its time in a way, but we were the only website that was actively seeking black people that had been here and struggled through it, wanting to write their stories and use them as role models for the next generation to show that you can achieve, you can struggle, it will be hard, but you can achieve and build something here in Sweden.
Yeah.
And then there was other things like they'll put in there like how to do hair and men
yeah,
shaving
yeah.
and all this sort of stuff that
yeah.
that otherwise outside of the UK was completely missing.
Yeah.
It was like, but okay,
still is. I mean, it's
yeah.
better, but it still is. Like a lot of that stuff is really hard. Like especially for the younger generation, and especially for the younger generation of half Swedish, half
yeah.
African. I used to call them Afro-European. Actually, a phrase that I started way back, I was ahead of my time when I was saying stuff like Afro-European. People were like, what? Really? I'm like, yeah, because I'm European, but I'm African, so I'm Afro-European.
Yeah, exactly.
And it didn't compute for people. And for a lot of people, it doesn't compute even now.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of kids growing up now that are Afro-European. Like, this is what they know, but their skin color and the hair or
yeah,
the style, it's African American or African,
yeah,
but they still have a European mind state. So
exactly.
how do we make these kids feel
exactly.
part of society?
That was it.
Do we have to label them or like it's
well, that
you know,
was the challenge.
Yeah.
That's how I felt for my kids as well, was how will they feel
yeah.
at home here? How will they identify? And that's exactly that, bridging that gap, or
yeah.
trying to at least sort of say you have both sides, you
yeah.
have bulk culture, and it's great. You can
mm-hmm.
it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's a sign of how we are. We're all human beings. We're all
mm-hmm.
living on one bloody planet. And
mm-hmm.
get over this. It's the,
yeah.
It feels like the world's gone backwards, but it feels like we still haven't got over the sheer fact
yeah.
that come on, we all come in different bloody colours.
Yeah.
We all like different things. This is not news. This has been the way it has been since time began. Celebrate it.
Yeah.
And it's no wonder if an alien comes, the first thing we'll do is kill it. Because that's our attitude to anything which just doesn't seem to bloody look like you.
Yeah.
It's just mind-numbingly frustrating. So I keep hoping that those borders have changed and that our kids are.
But now, when you said the word alien, it kind of like dawned to me, like maybe it's engraved in our DNA. It's maybe it's part of our survival instinct. Something alien comes towards you
to fear what we don't know.
Yeah, because like that's the only way we were supposed to survive back in the days. Because like if you think of early man,
yeah,
and the little knowledge they had of the world, I mean that was their first instinct. Like something comes towards you. It's life or death.
Yeah,
and maybe we still have that a little bit in us. Like even though we know more, but it's like the instincts. Like oh, it's different. Yeah, you know, it's new. Because even like the challenge of like, a skateboard, you know, you look at it like, I might get hurt. That's the first thing you think. Yeah, like, not like it's going to be fun or no, I might get hurt. That's the first instinct, you know. Yeah. And maybe that's what it is with everything.
Yeah.
It's an instinct that we have to get rid of. But maybe it's harder than, because it's more like.
I think we've been reinforced to fear what we don't know. Through movies, through media, through.
Yeah.
Parents' attitudes to other people's attitudes, that we are being taught to fear what we don't know. In fact, you know, it also goes down to, it goes back, oh, I keep going around in circles, but to the music side, where if someone doesn't tell you this is good, then you won't give it a chance. You know, well, if it's not number one in the charts, it can't be any good.
Yeah.
How we want to be told it's okay. Is this okay? Yeah, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit here in Sweden, that you feel that as well, is that everyone's kind of waiting to be told if that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, it must be good. Everyone's talking about it, and we're quick. Mm. I have to say that's something I've noticed here in Sweden. If someone endorses it, if it's kändis, if it's this, then everyone wants to know. They'll flood. They'll fill the gates. But it doesn't quite make sense, because they've got to come from somewhere. Yeah. And yet nobody wants to give anyone who's new a chance.
No.
And those are they're the seeds. They're what grows. And if, why only feed a full plant?
Yeah.
It's the seeds you need to feed. And I've never quite understood it, particularly when we throw plaudits elsewhere, but you don't take care of your own. It's, you know, it's that Trump thing where these lead world leaders.
Yeah.
And I can't understand. You know, yes, they're lining their pockets. I understand the way the world works, but where leaders don't look after their own people and put them first.
Yeah.
But instead, they'll do everything else around it. You know, they'll treat their own people badly.
Yeah.
I understand if you might treat another country badly. If you're the leader, you'll go, oh, that country wants to take our stuff, tell them to get stuff. That I can understand. But when you go, well, our people need some food, and you go, no, they can get stuff. This is your own. So I don't get it how the Swedish, Sweden, it's a cross where they just look at international artists, international this, that, and the other, and say, they're great, they're wonderful, they're the best thing we ever heard.
Or if they make it outside of Sweden,
then
it's
going to be like, whoa, exactly, off the US.
You know, the Sara Larssons right now, and I mean, all these people had to go to the States first before they blew up. I mean, but it goes way back to ABBA and as well. Like, they had to make it outside of Sweden before they became huge stars in Sweden, which is weird, because Sweden is such a small place. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, those are like major questions, though.
Yeah.
I have a few theories about stuff like that, but it's gonna sound very conspirational. If that's even a word.
conspiracy
theorists.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it was 9/11 actually.
the
whole conspiracy thing was put on everything, and then when things like Trump gets in, and suddenly we realize the Russians might have tampered with it.
I don't really believe like. Maybe there's some truth to it, but I don't believe like Putin and the Russian government be like, yo, let's go out there and actually take over the United States government and try. Because like, if you look at the intelligence capabilities of America and Russia, I mean, American intelligence capabilities are so much bigger. Plus, they work together with the British intelligence capabilities. Mm-hmm. So the Russians would be so outnumbered. So they might have done it as a prank. Maybe, but I don't think they were really serious. Like, we're gonna go in and change.
I agree. I don't think they went into.
I think it was like a prank thing. Let's
see what we can do.
Yeah.
I think the hack from for me, this is just my theory, was that the hackers were seeing how far they could go in that process. And then if they did find a wormhole, a back route in.
Yeah, and they played with it.
That they went, let's see, actually, we've managed to get into Florida's voting thing.
Yeah.
And we can change. Because I do think, because Trump, you know, get too political here, but Trump, you know, is a friend of Putin, and it was in his favour to have an ally in the White House. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And it has proved that way. I mean...
Yeah. But the thing is that at the other end, like, these things are kind of hard to hide, especially like computers, because everybody thinks like, oh, computers, you could do anything, but computers always leave trails.
Yeah.
Like, you can never hide anything. Even if you erase a disk, it's always some remnants of, like...
So
that would be really stupid of Putin to go that route, you know? Like, really...
You know, he's been found out. So
yeah, he's been found out.
So the trail's led back to
I don't think he was dumb enough to do it. But anyway, that's a question to be answered for.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll
I think it was like a prank that went too far, and like, oh, how do we save this now? Like, you guys, what are you doing? Like, don't play with this stuff, because it's too major to be played with.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to wait for Fox News, because I trust them to let me know if he did or didn't do it.
yeah, same here. I'm actually waiting for the guy to get his job back again. What's his name?
I don't know his name, but I know what you mean.
He got fired.
Ballistic.
But they're losing so much ratings right now.
Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly.
Oh my God.
Dear. Yeah.
But yeah, man, so...
Yeah.
So, when we actually, like, how we started this whole thing, I wanted to see, like, what you feel about the creative state of Sweden and how... How come Sweden is such a big entity right now when it comes to creatives, designers, musicians, the Max Martins, the Sara Larssons, which all have like some kind of like soul background, really, you know, in Sweden. But as for you, as a fighter for Swedish soul writers, or soul singers or whatever, like, how do you feel about that? Because we do have some success, like out in the world as songwriters and producers and what you know, stuff like that. But does it rain down or trickle down to the
I know what you mean, the grassroots,
the grassroots?
No, basically. it's a machine.
Yeah.
It's a machine. It's a money machine.
Yeah.
And that's music today. It's a money machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I accept that. And I'm just trying to work within the parameters of it. But it is a machine. And once they get something that works, they're looking for something else that works. There's no, we haven't got time to test. They're not going to put money into tests. And they'll put out artists that, you know, they'll team them up with great producers, great writers, great videos. There is a formula that works. Mm-hmm. They know what platforms and where to put it on and the time. It's all, you know, probably the algorithm, thank you, are all set out. They know to reach young, their audience. It's their audience. And there is a key audience they are targeting.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, if you don't fit those criteria, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
It's an absolute struggle. They aren't bringing us bands, they aren't bringing us new, fresh, innovative sounds. They're giving ones that this one kind of worked, or someone did something, okay, we'll package this with that, we'll give it this image, and we'll bombard it everywhere.
It's like they created an ideal,
and
they want you to follow it. And if you're not the ideal, then you're out.
You're outside
of the parameter, and then you're not relevant.
Exactly. And I don't want to sound like, you can sound really sort of bitter and sound like, it's because this person's, you know, that the major corporations are taking bands, and, you know, it sounds
but it's true though. Look at Idol.
Yeah.
Idol now is like the biggest platform for new artists. And if you're not an artist on Idol every year now, you're not gonna make it.
Yeah.
And it's Idol and then Eurovision.
Yeah. Then it's opening those doors. Those doors have got harder when, you know, let's face it, if you're on Sony's label, and they can open doors for you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go, we'll get you on this show, we'll get you on this breakfast show, we'll get you in this, we can get you onto these festival stages. Mm-hmm. You're going to meet your public. And it's amazing how we all, when we see someone on TV, we go, they were good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really like that track. Because you've seen them on TV. They wouldn't be on TV if they were a regular Joe.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're mentally, you're already sold.
Yeah.
And then you open the newspaper and there's a double page spread on that artist. There's a full picture. And then you find that they're playing your local town. They must be good. I'm in. I'm there. Yeah. And then I'll put on the car radio. It's going on again. And we are swept up to that point where they also know how, you know, how the track length should be and the sounds. They're even getting down to a
song. It's a formula. It's a blueprint. Formula.
Exactly. And it's a blueprint. And it's becoming, for those of us who love music, we hear that blueprint quite clearly.
Mm-hmm.
While there are many others who are happy to be in that blueprint, who are happy. They go, well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. It's bumpy. It's catchy. And it feels good. And so what more do you want?
Yeah.
But for those of us who knew music and have love music in another way, it's a reflection of our emotions.
Yeah.
It's a reflection of where we are in the world. It's a reflection of who we are as people. At that time, you need more than just one sound coming at you. Yeah. We needed to reflect us, and that's where music came from. It was a reflection of how we felt. Mm-hmm. It was one of our most beautiful ever, if not the most beautiful creation we as humans have given the world.
And that's how different genres got born. You know, you had the punk genres, exactly, and then the sub-punk genres, and you know, but you know, we're losing that today, because it's like right now, even in hip hop, like you hear now, it's the same sound like that. You know, trap sound, and everybody's doing that, and nobody want to hear anything else, and it's getting so repetitive. It's like you want to give up the whole, you know.
Yeah.
And it's even hard to find new artists now. It's crazy on the internet. Like, it's hard to find new artists on the internet. Like,
exactly.
Oh man, but that's weird.
It's I mean, it's one thing that I have been trying to push, or I am, and always will be dedicated to helping bands.
Mm-hmm.
As well, because one of the most beautiful things I think are still bands. I think bands, and it's not till you notice when you look at the charts, if anyone's listening, or I hope there are loads of people listening, look at bands, look at your chart list and see where the bands are, see where the new bands are.
Yeah.
There's a dynamic, the dynamicism and dynamic within a band, which you, it's magic on stage.
Yeah.
It's magic in the music. When you know that these 5, 6, 7 group of people have made music, they've sat, and each one of them contribute to what you hear.
Yeah.
It's a different feeling than when you hear one person who's standing behind a keyboard and someone's singing. It's a different, nothing wrong with that. There is, just to say, there is nothing wrong. There is a skill, there is an art in being able to produce and create music on your own and present that with wonderful vocalists. It is wonderful. I have many, many tracks that I adore that are like that. But there's room for bands.
Yeah.
There's room for bands and a guitarist and bassist and that dynamics when they're on stage and the friendship, and as we go back to being about communicating with each other. When you can see that these group of people hang out, they chat, they talk, they drink, they play. It's
but the thing is that there's not an environment for that, because now everything is so, everybody's so self-centered and everything is driven by, so let's say you have a band and you have an Instagram page. who's supposed to run that, who's supposed to put up, you know that, those are stupid things, like they sound stupid, but who decides what picture to put up? You know, they have to have a meeting about that. Like, oh, now we want to like put something up on our Instagram. What are we going to put up? Are we going to put up a picture of our band, or are we going to put up a picture of the drummer? So these are like small things, but that are relevant in today's environment, because everything is so self-centered. You have your page, you have your little feed. So, Ola, why did you put up something about our band? You didn't discuss it with us.
And that's the problem. You're right, because those small discussions that end up blowing up.
Yeah.
Like you said, people can't take criticism in today's world. You know, they're what split bands up immediately. Oh, well, I'll do it myself then.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
because you can.
Because you can.
And that goes to even relationships. Like now, it's like, oh, but I'm independent. I don't need you. Like, I could get my own apartment and live off my own salary.
Yeah.
And just share the kids. And,
exactly. You know, every other week. It's very, very quick nowadays where you can seem to say, well, no, okay, I don't
want to. We had a little Instagram conversation about that, the ego, like why and we were talking more hip hop, like why are there not any more hip hop groups? Because now it's like it's all about one guy. Remember back in the 90s, you had all the groups, the R&B groups and the cliques, the crews, the posses.
Exactly.
Now it's like one guy and maybe the entourage.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know. Exactly. And I miss that. I mean, this is why at times I feel old, but I feel privileged. I have to say, I look back when artists like the great Prince and David Bowie and artists have passed away. Yeah. And just the other day, I saw a video. It just had a clip and it had a Freddie Mercury talking about Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I've lived through those.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they started. I remember when Michael Jackson was a young kid. Yeah. She was my age. But I remember all of that. I remember all of growing up through that. I remember when Prince came out with his first tracks. I remember when all of this started. I remember when bands that, even the thing being about music, and this is perhaps why I am passionate about what I do. When I grew up, music just meant music. So when I listened to the radio, it was rock, it was pop, it was soul, it was anything.
Everything.
It was music. Everything. Yeah. My parents listened to calypso and country music and Elvis and everything would go. Peggy Lee, it was anything in my house.
Yeah.
Bob Marley on Sundays. And I didn't think, it didn't even occur to me that there was
different genres.
A different genre. Yeah. It just sounded good. Mm-hmm. I would sing every track that came on. And then as I got older, I started to get into ska. I loved my ska. And then I got into reggae. Mm-hmm. Reggae music was big for me. And then I liked my pop tracks. You know, I thought Duran Duran and them lot was playing big tune. I was into it. I was like, this is really good music. But I would play that track.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go play my Kid Creole track. I was a big Kid Creole and the Coconuts fan.
Yeah.
And then I would go and play my new Bunny Wailer album, or my new Gate Man. I had some wonderful 12 inches from Green Sleeves. I mean, I loved my reggae. I mean, all of it was just
music. Yeah.
And it was I was after a feeling. Grandmaster, I was at the concerts when Beastie Boys, Run DMC, LL Cool J were doing their first tours at Brixton. I was at the very front, and you kind of know, you're witnessing, you knew, and that's the atmosphere, you knew this was the start of something. Hip-hop came out of the blue, and I had Yellow Man, that Hulk man, like that, but Yellow Man, and he was a big sort of rapper, he was one of the pioneers of rap, and I loved his reggae style. So when we then came out, when hip-hop then started, and, you know, we could sing Grandmaster Flash, and I was there, and then it became fun, Kid and Play and all these artists, it became fun and parties and house parties and there's so much wrapped into music, and it also then became a symbolism of who I was.
Yeah.
Because at that stage I would feel like sometimes I'm hanging out with the reggae crowd and I would go to a black club and it'd be cool.
Yeah.
And then next time I'm listening to R&B and I'm like, you know, beating heart, and it was something for everyone. It was music, and I feel scared that young people, I just got one route.
Yeah.
There is no other expression. There is no, well, maybe I'll lounge with a bit of late night reggae at this time, it's some heavy dub, you know, or then I'll put on my a bit of rock. I'll listen to, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody at 4 o'clock in the morning if I feel like it. Or yeah. I'll listen to, like, no, no, it's got to be this side of music. I've got I've just got one route.
Yeah.
I do worry that people won't appreciate anything outside of that, that they won't really go like, well, this is...
But I think that the creation of the bubble has been a long time coming, you know, like slowly but steadily. And it's actually like, if I'm going to go crazy with it, it's actually a form of divide and conquer. Because then people are not getting together as a whole. You have them in all these little pockets where you can send in messages like, oh, the hip-hop crowd, yeah, this is how we communicate with them. Mm-hmm. The rock crowd, mm-hmm. this is how we communicate with them. It's pretty much the same message, like consume, shut the hell up and consume, but we don't have to communicate it to everybody, because if everybody's communicating, then they're stronger. So I think it's something behind it, you know?
It has divided us.
So,
in that way. And basically... what I love with the music that I'm finding and trying to help reach others is, it's not, just in case anyone is thinking that Scandinavian soul is a pure copy of American soul, that is not what it is at all. Yeah. In fact, I try to sort of say that if you say Scandinavian, the clue is in the word Scandinavian. Mm-hmm. It's not American soul. It's the soul. And what I'm trying to help encourage and find is
Scandinavian soul.
Thank you. That's exactly
it. Not the music, but the soul of Scandinavian. Thank you. Maybe you should change it up to soul of Scandinavia.
Because I have thought that many times. Yeah. I have thought that many, many times. It was only because of Google search words, to be honest. Yeah. Because because if you want to search, you wouldn't perhaps search for soul of Scandinavia, but you might search for Scandinavian soul. So, you know, and again, it's about how you...
But the slogan could be soul of Scandinavia.
And I love that. I really, really do. And that is, for me, the underlying line of what I constantly try to find. It's music that has... It's come from their soul, and it's fine if it comes from influences from Jill Scott and American soul, and if it has those clear influences.
Yeah.
But when people do what, for me, the Americans aren't doing, take it somewhere a little bit further, which is what the Scandinavians are doing, where they take it into electronic, they almost rip a lot of the soul out of it, but then they put soulful vocals on it, or they'll take part of it and mix it a little bit. And I love that. I love that. There's a... It's different. And a wonderful email I got once from a lady in America who said, I really love your website, which is great. And she said, no music in America sounds like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what she meant, because it's unique in its own way. There's a wonderful band called Pomona Dream who do this sort of... They're mixing old 80s with soulful lyrics, and you wouldn't get that in a particular black neighbourhood where they are, for me, in America, where they would take those influences, they would take those clues, those snippets, and make something new out of it. So I feel like Scandinavian soulful artists in Scandinavia, is how I like to say it, are doing what they feel. They have no borders in what they can and can't do.
Yeah.
And then that makes it exciting, because every time I get sent a track, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
It's kind of great. It's not like I go, oh, this all sounds so samey. It sounds, and anyone, I hope, who goes onto the website will find it all sounds varied. That you never know what the next track might sound. It might sound a bit jazzy, might sound a bit soulful, might sound a bit this. Well, I can listen to a lot of new soul on some soul stations, and I kind of know.
You know where it's going.
I know where it's going. The next track comes up, and it's
the blueprint.
It's a little blueprint again, and unfortunately, many other genres that have you get stuck in. Well, this formula works, and it has to be like this.
But the funny thing is, like, what I notice about Scandinavian soul or Scandinavian urban music is that there's no market for it. So the people that actually do it, they do it because they love it, you know. But soon as you have a market, then everybody's going to follow the blueprint of the market, and that's what happens in big places like America, England, because they actually see the market and they know what suits the market, so they're going to do what's for the market in order to gain the proceeds of that market, whatever. So that's the funny thing, that we're fighting for these guys to actually get more revenue out of the market, but that's the same thing that's going to kill that soul that we're talking about. Yeah. So it's a tough balance to walk, you know.
I can give you a story that just reflects the way the music industry is. Mm. There's a band called the Magnolia from Gothenburg. Mm. Have you heard?
No, probably never. I know the word. It's a famous word.
It's a famous word.
It's a flower, right?
Yeah, the colour. But they're based in Gothenburg. Anyway, they were two lead singers, and for me, one of the greatest bands Sweden's ever produced, ever. Right. They were different. Two male vocalists. Each vocalist. I mean, when I say two male vocalists, you go, "What band has two male vocalists?" And each vocalist has a distinct sound. It wasn't like, well, one was a bit weaker. No, they were. And they weren't just people. They were charismatic. I mean, when they're on stage, you know you're seeing, like, the Amy Winehouses of the world. You are seeing people that were born to do this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from the first time my friend Sandra sent me the clip, I said, this is what you dream of. Mm-hmm. We did the Soul Awards, and a guy I know from Warner Music, I said, you've got to come down and see this band. Mm-hmm. You really do. This is like nothing else. Came down, honestly, everyone at the awards, open mouth, literally going, what is this? Because he just didn't expect it. Afterwards, he said, Andy, you're right. What a band. Mm-hmm. I'll take the lead singer.
Oh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And he took what the band, and I'll take the lead singer. He took split
the whole thing.
Oh my god.
And he's doing well.
Yeah.
The lead singer's doing well because.
Anybody we heard of?
I don't want to say names. Because it wasn't a bad thing.
But you already said it, so Magnolia. Yeah, people can do their research.
Yeah. But it wasn't a bad thing. I'm not blaming him at all.
Yeah.
I'm not in any way. And I'm really, he's a lovely guy. And. Because it was the door opens, and the door only opens once.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't like every day someone's going to come and open the door for you. Hey! So you've got to take the chance, and you know, and it was the right decision for him at the time, and you know, all respect to him. But it was a symbol. For me, it was the sign. All the reasoning that my friend at Warner Music gave made sense as well.
Yeah.
We can't afford bands. Do you know how much it costs to take a band?
Actually.
It's logical. It's like, you know, we can't. You add it all up. The contracts, the travel costs, the time, and me putting on events. I know those costs of putting stuff on. And it's...
So it's actually a deliberate direction from the record companies, actually. And that's one thing I forgot to say, but it is deliberate because it's always easier to deal with one person.
Yeah, it is.
But now, as you said, you're going back to England... I want to get into that. Like, what's up with the political climate over there Brexit and the regret?
Regret Brexit.
They
call it Remoners. Instead of Remain, they become Remoners because they're moaning.
Oh, all
right. Remoners.
That's a new one. Well, what do you think about that? Like, were you one of the advocates for exiting or staying?
Yeah, right. I'm so pleased to say, in my personal history, it feels like I've always stayed on the right side of politics in that way, where I felt like I wouldn't have associated with the people who were calling for Brexit. They weren't the people I would ever have stood next to, Nigel Farage and all those people. They were never going to be people I looked at and thought... Yeah. He speaks for me, ever. It would never have happened. So it didn't matter, even if his point was right, I knew nothing he was saying. I'm not that easily led. And it just feels like, oh, come on. How you can't be that naive. When someone stands up and says, I want my country back.
Yeah.
I thought, nowadays, why wouldn't you scratch your head and think, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
What do you mean by I want my country back? From what? From who? From what? What are you on about? We've just got closer. I mean, I understand, I do understand a lot of people have issues with the amount of, what might look like a large amount of, immigrants, but foreigners coming. Mm-hmm. That is suddenly, when I go back, even on holiday after a year, and you go back and you go, well, there's a lot of different people around there. There's a lot of new faces. Mm-hmm. And when it goes too quickly, people come with their own... How do I put this? It's like the neighbours who moved in next door and would throw a mattress outside the front door and hanging out because that's what they would do in their country.
Yeah.
It's like, well, actually, maybe we need a little time to adjust to we don't.
Yeah, but that's the thing with everything, something being something new, strange to us, and it's like, that's common though. But when it happens too fast, that's the thing.
Yeah, and so for a lot of people, they might have felt it was too fast. Yeah. And there's one thing you're complaining about that, but there's another thing is then having some idiot stand up and start to say, well, this is the answer. There's a quick fix. There's one button we need to press.
Yeah, let's shut everything down.
Let's just shut it down. Yeah, that's the answer. And everything will be rosy. And, and I can't believe people are so gullible that they really think things are fixed by one press. You know, like, that's it. All done. Everyone's off. And we're back to normal.
Yeah.
Like the world works like that, but they're very, very easy. We're so, but to be honest, just going back on that, that it was the newspapers. I mean, really, the in particular in England, the was it Daily Mail and the Sun and their headlines. I mean, I think at one point I posted it on Facebook. I mean, there's like nearly 100 newspaper covers of warning about immigrants and the saboteurs and this, that, and the other, and you were literally bombarded with every reason to hate the EU. Again, as I say, we were brought up with hate the French, and that was what we were bombarded with as kids. So when the newspapers are telling you, like, the EU, they're taking away your rights, you're losing, we don't have our laws. I mean, and the worst thing was the Conservative government do all with, at the time, whatever, but they couldn't get enough reasons for us to stay. They weren't clear enough. They weren't positive enough. They didn't have enough. If they could have just made it clearer that we literally are jumping off a cliff here, which they did say, but no one really wanted to listen. It's much easier to sell anyway.
Yeah.
It's much easier to sell that, you know, we're going to put 350 million back into every household, you know, back into the hospitals, than to say that, well, we're not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, but where are we going to get the medicine from? Like, with all the import-export, liaisons that we're cutting off, how are we going to do it? Like, the taxes are going to be raised because now we're not part of the common, you know. It's crazy.
As far as the Brexiters are concerned, is that we've got our country back. Yeah. That everybody wants to deal with us because we're the great British Empire. We're the greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
So everyone will desperately, desperately trying to buy anything we make. And then
Campbell's soup.
Yeah, Campbell's soup will sell, like, you know, imagine we'll stop selling them
PG, Jaguar automobiles.
PG tips. German. We'll stop selling them.
Land Rover.
German. Exactly. German. All the great. Because they've forgotten
that
when they say I want my country, but they keep harping back to these days of where they were making all of their own products, but not anymore. Yes, exactly. You know, the great British
Empire. I call this the British aftermath, because actually all this is like a result of Great Britain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And it's and for me, it wasn't, unfortunately, that was, without Brexit, I don't think Trump might have had the success he did. I just feel that was the knock-on effect to show that anything can
happen. There's a direct connection.
Yeah, for me there was. It was like, I felt like there was literally a cloud went over the world, because you thought, if England would leave the best thing they had, then, you know, was it working with their nearest partners? And it was ridiculous when you think about it. You know, these are the ones you trade with. You'd rather trade with India and people further. What are you going to... What? It doesn't make sense. But if they're prepared to leave all of that, put in the custom borders, as you say, and all of that, and that was on the back of basically racist rhetoric, you know, basically saying, you know, we don't want these people. Then, when as soon as Trump stands up and goes, yeah, I don't want people either. Yeah, come on, let's get rid of those. And he came out with some horrible statements. But they were cheering off the rafters now.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, yeah, we don't either. And unfortunately, the terrorist attacks have fuel that fear.
And my theory really is have. Like these terrorist attacks are actually being fueled by, because somebody's like funding and making sure this stuff's happens. Yeah. But you always have to look back to who's benefiting from the aftermath of these things.
Yeah.
And I think the Brexit people are kind of benefiting a lot right now, because now it's like obvious, like
that was exactly
even it. Here in Sweden, like, why would a guy all of a sudden in Sweden pick up a truck and, like, this craziest,
yes,
it's like somebody had to incite him, like, you know, need this because we need to make some social change and this would benefit, because I don't even see ISIS looking at Stockholm and be like, yo, this is where our fight is.
Yeah.
Let's just do one truck in Sweden.
Exactly.
And that's it. And I don't believe in this. It's not a coincidence. Right. I mean, like, I don't know. It's hard. But anyway, we've been talking a whole lot of, I don't know how long we've been talking. We've been talking for like at least 1.5 hours.
Is it really?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we could go on, but
my producers. I haven't even touched on that. Well, producer's coughing away loud. Yeah. He's holding up a clock.
He's like,
tapping his watch for the past half an hour.
But I'm thinking about the struggle that you're going through, like with. You know, Scandinavian soul. How hard is the struggle? Like,
good question.
Is it to a point where you want to give up, or is it where to a point where you want to go harder? How are you feeling right now?
Very good question, actually, because I don't get asked that. Yeah. It's like, how are you doing?
How are you doing? In the struggle.
Yeah, in the struggle.
Scandinavian soul. How is it treating you?
it's a very good question. Because I feel a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was just Sweden, perhaps it wouldn't feel as big as it is. But when I feel I'm trying to help, you know, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, and there's a lot of artists doing a lot of stuff, and if I don't write about them, they could disappear.
Yeah.
They might not get to where they need to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of responsibility. And there were times, you know, as I say, I get emails and such, and I feel it's sad that I feel I have to make a judgment, and I don't want to have to make judgments on people's music alone. I don't want to have to sit there and go, well, I don't like it, so it's not very good. It's because it shouldn't be just about my opinion.
Yeah, because music is emotion, and you might not have that emotion, but somebody else might have.
Exactly. You know? And at the same time, I've got to try and make a judgment on what music we put on the website, because if I put everything I got sent, the cargo on there is a whole load of anything on there. It doesn't, the website's got no cohesion.
Yeah.
The sound's all over the place. So I try to, you know,
moderate it
a bit. And then if I write reviews, it's, so basically it's, I'm trying desperately to get more people involved. I've tried for years to get more people involved.
But at what level? Like, how do you go about it? Like, people out there scouting, or people writing, or sponsors? You need sponsors so you can hire people?
Sponsors would be great. I mean, at the end of the day, there's no money in running a blog or website.
No.
Not unless, you know, you get massive...
Crazy traffic.
And websites aren't being used the way they used to be. People come through Facebook.
So, all right, we're on a pod, but what about a Scandinavian music pod, like you guys do that?
I started a website, I started a radio station with my thing, and I still think it's something we need, like an independent radio station. So I started one called Urban Life Radio, and on that I promoted
Scandinavian. You still have it?
No, I stopped. I stopped doing it. I used to do it from the castle in Uppsala, which was just awesome.
Yeah.
Every Sunday, and I was again trying to hope to build, because it's still what the music needs, particularly in Sweden. We need an independent radio station that plays urban music for two reasons. Not just for playing music that doesn't get heard on commercial radio, but also independent businesses.
Yeah,
there are small businesses that can't afford to be on mainstream radio stations. Who want to advertise their local coffee shop, who want to advertise their nights and club nights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no way for them to advertise. No. There's no way for them to reach apart
Facebook.
From Facebook. It's the usual channels. Yeah. And we desperately, I feel we desperately need an urban voice and urban music. So that would help Scandinavian soul music a hell of a lot if it was being repeatedly heard and played and exposed and championed by DJs and other people. Yeah. But we have tried doing a... I haven't tried to do a full podcast. I've done a couple, but because I also try and do events as well. Yeah. See, so I try and do the Soul Awards and trying at the moment to work on a festival. Right. So it takes a lot. It's a lot, especially
if you're one man. You know, if you are a one man army, you know, and you're not really getting paid off it, and people don't realize that a lot of this stuff is done from the heart and. You have to actually go out of pocket yourself a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And that's when, actually, I was talking to Amethyst, the other girl she's been very important for the hip hop scene here.
Yeah, very much.
But when she actually laid it out, like, she had to, like, actually fight for this and go out of pocket and really, you know, where people think it's just a given thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, you have to fight for it. You have to be really interested. That's what I'm thinking about here, because it is a struggle, and you can get really worked up and actually hit the wall.
Yeah,
as they say in Swedish, going to vegan.
I kind of hit a wall last year after the award, which was just a fantastic night. But after that, I was finished. I mean, it just took so much work to put it together. Yeah. And then I ran out of money completely. I mean, it was like, man, I'm completely out of pocket. I need to, because the amount of work and time it takes, I didn't have as much clients. Mm-hmm. So then I took a full-time job instead. But man, that didn't work out at all. Really sapped my whole soul as a human being. It really did.
Yeah.
So it took a long time to get back into being me. And then as soon as I got back to doing Scandinavian Soul and writing about artists. I mean, there's a band I wrote about on Sunday called Jeff, the Danish band.
Mm-hmm.
They're brand new, and I loved what they've done, and I love their cover artwork. And it's when people put all the effort in, and they from the artwork to the tracks to what they wanted to do to everything, and I'm so happy. They were really happy with the review, and I was really happy to have helped them. And it's not money.
Yeah,
but it's worth it. It's for me. It feels like I can't put it into words, but it warms my a part of me that money couldn't warm. Yeah, that I feel like I've helped society, even if I, when I'm gone from this earth. But I feel like I've helped society in some way, in any way I could, and it didn't cost me a thing to do it. Yeah. Just time. Yeah,
time and effort.
Time and effort. But I would like to help more people, which is why it would be great if I had. Sponsorship and other writers and people that were just willing to give up some time to just help get it to the to help people more. But I hopefully people are at home enjoying the music and having the time of their lives because of things they hadn't heard before. Yeah. And that's the bottom line.
Actually, like right now, it actually should be so easy because you have all these crowd funds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like people could actually just like donate like a crown or whatever, but true. They don't do it. It's like why wouldn't you like just but it's kind of hard to get people to commit to that point.
Yeah,
and I don't understand it. Like people are like, they're so quick to complain when there's no, when there's nothing happening or going on, but as soon as somebody puts a hand out like, yo, help me fund this thing, and then all of a sudden everybody's quiet.
Yeah,
and like, damn, I have like 1,000 followers. None of them are committed enough to send even like that's surprising actually.
Exactly, yeah.
But you get all the likes and everybody, but when it actually means to something, like really committing to everybody.
That's the newspapers have found. I mean, they found that everyone will read the newspapers and no one's prepared to pay for it. But I'm hoping you're right. I mean, we should try crowdfunding.
And that's new. That's a new thing. Like, we have to find out a new way of like people putting value into the music or entertainment, and that's the hard nut to crack.
I'm so pleased that things like vinyl has returned, because at least artists start to make some money back. Yeah. That's been a, and it will start, I hope, will start to value that.
Yeah.
When they look back, you know, because it's when Prince died, and you look back at what you have, suddenly you realise that, what have I got?
Yeah.
What have I got of his? You know, suddenly I wanted to look through and say, did I have anything? Did I have anything that was still had Prince? You know.
Yeah.
And I my kids and of their generation, when their idols pass,
they have nothing. Just a little, maybe a digital print.
Digital playlist, which everyone had in the world. You know, but there's no connection between you and that artist that said, no, I was there, even if they signed it, or you got it at their event, something that said...
Yeah, T-shirt.
Yes, I connected with this artist, and they spoke for me. I was there. It's a passionate thing that I'm hoping that vinyl will also cause people to take time to listen properly. I hope. It's a long shot.
But that's the thing. The crazy thing is that the people that are actually buying vinyl are the old school guys like us that that even know what the format. Because, you know, I was actually, yesterday I was messing around with my old DAC tapes, and my DAC tape started eating my tapes. And I went crazy. I was like, you know, like, oh, it's eating the tapes. I was like trying to save them. But when I took them out and I have to break it, but I know how to splice a tape. So I was I can still save it. But these new kids, man, it's like, it's not even, it never gets to that. If a file is corrupted, you just download a new file.
Yeah,
and it's
like, exactly.
And it's out there free. So it's not a big deal. Like, so music doesn't, I mean, I don't even know how to put it. It's
funny,
it's sad.
I was thinking about Spotify. I was not an advocate for Spotify for years.
I'm still not an advocate.
I know. Like, I have to agree. I feel that with Spotify, I've always felt it's like a bouncer to my music.
Yeah.
It's like there's a bouncer in front of my music who one day can say, you're not coming in.
Yeah.
And I can't have that. I can't. My music, I need... I can't tell you how much it's part of me, and I'm sure all of us.
Yeah.
Our music, when we want to hear what we want to hear, we want to hear it.
Yeah.
And to feel that there's someone who could stand in front of the door and go, actually, no, you can't get in. You didn't pay this month.
Yeah.
You've got to pay to get to hear your favourite track.
Yeah.
No, you can't. No. This is me. I've listened to this soundtrack every day when I've woken up. It's my part of my life. Yeah. One day someone could stand up, if it went bankrupt and closed down, something got hacked and, you know, was offline, I would be without my music.
Yeah.
I can't. I just can't. That's what it means. I'm that connected.
And actually, people don't think it could happen because, like, oh, but it's not going to happen. But once that happens and you... As you're looking in, your living room wherever you keep your music, and you're missing a big catalog of what you're listening to. Like, oh, I haven't bought music since 1985.
Exactly.
It's like, oh shit,
you've got nothing. You've got nothing.
So it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, like, as I say, I like the momentum. The momentum. Something you keep. Your memory of that time. So I find this. The artists I've worked with and met in Scandinavia who've sent me their stuff, I treasure them. I mean, I have them all lined up, and they're wonderful. I know that they might have only sold three, but I'm one of the people that have three of them. And it becomes even more valuable to me because I go, I bet not many people have this. It's a wonderful thing.
But that used
feeling.
To be the thing. That used to be the thing. You collected and you got the white label vinyl, the single with no print on it.
Yeah.
It's just a sticker on it. And, you know, somebody wrote, imagine, like, this is probably DJ Premier that wrote number one or two on it, you know. But nowadays, it's like,
it's a connection. It's a connection.
Maybe we're too old.
But we didn't think vinyl. I didn't say vinyl was going to come back. I didn't think people would.
But is it really back though? Because I'm trying to print a vinyl myself right now, but it's like, it's not really back. I think it's a figment of our imagination. Those people who love vinyl.
Yeah,
you know?
I know what you mean.
I don't really think, like, if you print like 300, they're not going to go like that.
No, they won't. They won't go like that. But if it helps at live events, if you can help connect people to your music. So if you go around to your friend's house and you see a vinyl on the side, you might question, well, what's that?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, it's And it might just—you can't do that with a playlist, can you? You can't do it on the phone. You can't. You know, I used to walk into people's houses and go like, "Oh, I see somebody likes Pink Floyd." You know, you would know exactly. You know exactly what they were into. But now it's like, well, I can show you my playlist and maybe we can go through one of my tracks here. You know, it's all right. I want to dig through and then go like, oh, you've got the rare, you know, Miles Davis album.
That was the thing, actually, when somebody was like in the kitchen preparing food or whatever. You know, you could go into their picture album or you could go through their record crates, you know. Yeah, exactly. And it was usually the record crates. And you're like,
exactly. You go, oh, how did you buy this one?
Yeah, yeah, like, yo, this one, yo, can I borrow this?
Can I borrow this?
You can't borrow that. You can't borrow that, man.
Exactly.
You know, yo, you never brought back my other one.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was like a big social thing.
Yes,
like,
it was. You know, it was. As you say, going back to Facebook again, but it's that where you would invite people over to look at your photos.
Yeah.
I was talking about this on Saturday, was that I know where my friend went on holiday, so I felt I didn't need to ask him. I'd seen all the pictures.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there. So when we met, I almost had nothing to say.
Yeah.
I'd say, good trip.
Yeah, good trip.
You looked
it.
So that's the end of that. So yeah, and it's unfortunately, I don't ask people about their music anymore.
Yeah.
We used to go like, I'd say, have you been anything? But it's not like, I'm sorry.
Have you dropped anything new?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't see it?
Yeah.
Just go look it.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Or when people recommend artists now, it's the same names.
Yeah.
They go, I heard that so-and-so, you know, a name I know has dropped their new. You go, yeah, I know, because it's all over Facebook.
I always say Drake to people. Like, what are you listening to? I'm like, Drake.
Yeah, Drake.
Anyway, it was
guys.
Nice to have you, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
No, it's lovely. Crazy. Sorry if I
one
do
of the
talk,
best conversations.
I do talk a lot, so I do.
Yeah, but that's what we do here, you know.
Bless you.
Actually, we should have had this with a little bit of drink.
It would have been worse.
Imagine we did all this on water and coffee.
It would have been
so
worse.
Imagine like a couple of beers and some wines, like really, really after work, Swedish after work.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.